Hey, welcome back to All Consumed. This is Chris Osborne. I'm here with
Neil Davey.
Neil Davey, and we are at the Best Roasted in Wilsdon. Neil chose this place, so describe it to us, Neil. Where are we?
We're in Wilsdon, which is a very close to where I live, but completely new region to me. So I'm driven through on the way to other places. Kept seeing the Best Roasted pop up all over Instagram. They do amazing kind of pressure. They've got a pressure fryer. So they're really good, really juicy fried chicken, quite spicy, lots of pickles. You may have seen footage of them with their shawarmas where they kind of dunk the bread in the rendered fat, press it up against the flames and make it really crispy. We've just consumed, all consumed. Looking at the plates, the detritus now, and apart from the orange stains on the fingers, it was delicious.
Half a chicken carcass, that really great fried chicken, very moist when you pop it open. And yeah, the shawarma was really good. And also just the hand-cut, handmade potato chip. Crisp type, but thick and excellent.
They were good. So it was really good. One of those Instagram TikTok sensations that was actually, it's not just about the look. It was
really yummy. That was great.
Done, Best Posted. Well done, everyone who posted about it before we did. Just opened in Ealing, we believe.
So anyway, this place is great in Wilsdon, the Best Roasted. But and that's definitely a highlight of my couple of weeks, I guess, since we last recorded. Food wise anyway. But also closer to my home, I had a great burger sometime in the past couple of weeks, at a place called Smoke and Pepper. And this is one of those places that just keeps popping up on my Instagram radar, and nothing fancy, but like a really good smash burger, potato bun. They did really good chicken wings. Okay, I think I got like the Algerian sauce, which I think is like the house sauce there. So just a really good burger. It's now my favorite burger in the Walthamstow, Layton, Lee Bridge area. Uh-huh. And I'm really excited, but also kind of concerned because it is quite close to where I live, and I could go there a good bit. Yeah,
they're the dangerous ones. Yeah,
but it was really yummy.
It's good to see the rise in the smash burger. There's an awful lot of places doing it and seem to be doing it well.
Yes,
which is nice.
Yeah, this place was great. We could even maybe. I'd love to take you there.
Yeah, fantastic.
Put that one to the list. It was really good, and there's other food in Layton we should probably explore as well. But also in that area, if I may continue.
It's for you.
Hello. No. Also, local food for me, again, in the Walthamstow Layton area, I've just been enjoying some local bakeries. I'm really appreciating them. One is Beaten by a Whisker, which is very well celebrated. Been going there since they opened, which was a few years ago. It's vegan, but they don't boast about it, and I would imagine it's full every weekend anyway, and I can only imagine most of the people there aren't vegan or even realize they're having like a vegan croissant or whatever it is.
It's kind of interesting. We can make it vegan, let's make it vegan. It's a bit more inclusive.
Cakes are great. They do some savories, but it's mostly just the sweets and the pastries, the cakes. They do a fantastic focaccia if you get there early enough, because they'll make a small batch of it and it sells out real fast. But that's great.
That's also
Beaten by a Whisker.
I like that.
Behind St. James Street Overground Station.
Okay.
Not far from that at all. It's a place that has been there for about the same amount of time, but I only went there recently for the first time last weekend, and that's called Weirdo. Weirdo.
I like the naming.
D-O-U-G-H, And little Italian bakery. And what they're doing really well is kind of innovating on pastries and things. So they did like a banana bread chocolate chip muffin. Sourdough muffin, that was fantastic. They did, what was it I had that was amazing? A tiramisu Danish, that was just incredible. And then just the regular breads and everything are nice too.
Were two words ever more destined to go together?
And that's pretty close to St. James Street Overground Station as well. And then going toward Layton, just around Lee Bridge Road is a little bakery that's I've seen a million times. It's called The Clock. And I was waiting for a bus once, had a few minutes, realized I was hungry. I was going to, it might be a while before I ate again. So I just popped in there and I got a pretzel and I got a little apple walnut, a strudel sort of pastry thing. And they were both fantastic and everything else in there looked great. Going by this place, walking by this place, The Clock. I never would have thought it was anything special, but it was really good. And it's also very close to where I live. So I'm like, uh-oh. So anyway,
it's nice.
Local treats.
Yeah, local. I said local gems. I said places that you've been or noticed or known of for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And then finally get to. I have one myself on the slightly opposite end of the spectrum. So for a long, long time, anyone who knows me, anyone who's ever seen me in public, I carry a notebook. I like the analog approach of the notebook. And at the end of a notebook, anything I haven't done gets copied across into the new notebook as a to-do point. And for about, I don't know, 5.5 years, whatever that is, about 17 notebooks, I've been, one of the things I've always copied across is go to Shea Bruce.
Yes, yeah. Famous. I've never been there, but yeah. One of these
famous, held a Michelin star for 2 decades or so. And as I was about to copy it across into the new book, so at the tail end of last year, I thought, I could just book it.
Yeah, I can actually go there, yeah.
So we did. And it was phenomenal. It is absolutely lovely, but it feels like a local restaurant. There's an awful lot of people there who've clearly been there any number of times. There were brilliantly, as we were finishing up, they were still turning tables at like 9:15 on a Saturday night. This lady came in dressed to the absolute nines, big sparkly top, fantastic jewelry, and was sat at a table on her own, set for one.
All right.
All the team, every time they passed, would stop and have a chat. It was clearly regular routine, something she did a lot. And watched it and thought, that's the way to do it.
That's nice.
That's living. Yeah, come out on a Saturday night on your own, dressed to the nines, get to know everyone in a restaurant and still have a fantastic time. And it was lovely. And as a friend said, it's the sort of place where it's all so effortless and so wonderful and friendly and charming that clearly there are an awful lot of people working their asses off.
And a beautiful tip of an impressive iceberg. Huh?
Yeah, exactly. The training must be exceptional. The Bruce Paul is no longer involved, but there's a guy called Matt Christmas, brilliantly named Matt Christmas, is the chef. Fantastically approachable list of food. £85 for 3 courses, which, given my ability to drop more than that on pretty much anything I kind of anticipate going out for dinner, and I will be spending that amount of money in considerably lesser places. And there is no mystery as to why Shea Bruce has been around as long as it has and is as celebrated as it has. And I will be booking again, and no, I won't be writing in my notebook as a reminder.
Okay, all right, good, good, good. That sounds yummy. Yeah, that is one that's on my list as well, and it's good to hear you saying it lives up to the hype.
Really did. Yeah. It really did. I mean, sometimes these things you kind of assume, maybe, maybe not, but it just solid, really, really solid. Nothing, not necessarily anything innovative, not challenging, thought-provoking, just really hard to pick what you want from the 3 courses, really sensibly priced wine list, staff who really knew what they were doing.
Nice.
Lovely little private dining room upstairs, which probably next on the target list. If I make another 10 friends at any point. So that could take a while.
Okay. What else you been up to, man?
So we've been going to the theatre.
Oh, we have?
We've been very cultured.
Oh, all right.
Very, very cultured. Well, mix of culture. And yeah, we've done some really interesting things. As you saw, I don't know if it's still on. If it came from the RSC, I would be very surprised if this doesn't continue to tour around the UK quite a lot. Tracy Ann Oberman, who's been quite outspoken on social media about various things affecting the Jewish communities around the world, mm-hmm. and anti-Semitism in the UK, etc., is Shylock. So it's a female Shylock.
Okay.
In a version of Merchant of Venice, which has been translated to or transposed to London in 1936. So it's set against the backdrop of the rise of Mosley and the Black Shirts and the Cable Street riots. So the massively, I'm not even going to say underlying racism of the Merchant of Venice, the overt racism documented by the Merchant of Venice takes on a very, very pointed edge.
Okay.
Very cleverly done, very moving. Excuse me, this kind of reinterpretation works absolutely brilliantly. Really thought-provoking.
Where's that?
It's currently at the Criterion.
Okay. It might have
it's a limited run. I think it finishes sometime in March, but it was a fairly rapid transfer from a bit of the RSC, I believe. Mm-hmm. As I say, I'd be very surprised given the reaction, given the depressingly topical nature of it, that it won't continue to run elsewhere for a while.
Okay.
Really worth looking out for. What will be running still for some time is Guys and Dolls at the Bridge Theatre.
Okay.
Kind of in the shower of the of Tower Bridge and opposite the Tower of London. Brilliant production. I would and have quite drunkenly argued blind that Guys and Dolls is my favourite musical. There's a very good story about that. I'll tell you all another time.
Okay.
I think pound for pound is about the best musical ever written. It's a beautiful production of it. And the staging, there is an interactive element. So if you're in the kind of, it's staged in the round, and those people on the sort of ground floor, there's bits of stage kind of rise up and fall and rise up and fall. Different bits of action playing around the place. If you're in the auditorium in that centre bit, you are kind of ushered around like stars.
Oh, it's here.
That are playing.
It just got very musical and dramatic here. Wow.
Which are...
Yeah. Oh, they turned it out. So
I think we can cope with the background noise.
Might be asking us to leave. I don't know what that is.
Helping
with our digestion.
So you have the ushers, excuse me, addressed as like New York policemen.
Okay.
So there's a little bit of sort of themed stuff going on. You might get asked to sit at a table and stuck on stage
in
the nightclub scenes. Excuse me. Really nicely done. Very, very good fun. And then as a third, in very creative staging, there's a wonderful play Keith Waterhouse wrote many years ago called Jeffrey Bernard is Unwell. Jeffrey Bernard was a great Soho fixture of the sort of 60s and 70s, and I guess into the 80s. I first came across him, he had a column in a free magazine called Midweek, that used to write for The Spectator, and racing newspapers, was a great gambler, a committed drinker, Soho stalwart, and drank regularly in the Coach and Horses.
Okay.
Opposite Kettner's. Yeah. Just down there. And behind the Palace Theatre around there. And the play is written as Jeffrey Bernard looking back on his life after he's been accidentally locked into the Coach and Horses. He's trying to reach Norman, who he famously described as the angriest landlord the grumpiest landlord in Soho. And this current production is being played two or three times different months on a Sunday night by Robert Bathurst. You might remember he was the posh one in Cold Feet.
Okay.
He's playing Jeffrey Bernard, and it is staged in the Coach and Horses in the Soho. In Bernard's old drinking hole. You sit around the ground floor of the pub. We had seats at the bar, got two bar stools with a pint, and it's been trimmed down to like an hour's monologue.
Okay.
Wonderful play. He's an interesting character. He's not necessarily likable, but very funny. Just a really quirky, unique little production.
Well, that sounds
and a good revival of a an interesting piece.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Of the sort of person who doesn't really exist in Soho anymore.
Very good. Very
possibly,
nice.
Possibly happily. Maybe. Sadly.
Okay.
I would erring towards sadly. But
I think I agree with you. Well, I've been in theater as well.
Mm-hmm.
Saw something great. My Neighbor Totoro.
You've seen something I really want to see. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fantastic. Obviously, based on the fantastic Miyazaki film, My Neighbor Totoro, from Studio Ghibli. I think I still am a bigger fan of the film than the stage adaptation, but it was so much fun. Totoro, if you know the film, it's about this big, giant, kind of half cat, half owl, giant fluffy thing. And Totoro in the stage adaptation is just huge, adorable. It's really fun. You kind of see how they're moving things around with the puppetry and stuff. And that's just as fascinating that it's out there in the open so you can see. It even adds to the...
It adds to the line, getting added to War Horse and stuff.
Yeah, and you can go there. I mean, it was a really mixed audience. First of all, I need to thank my partner for scoring the tickets. They're not easy to get these days. So it was just so much fun. I was grinning ear to ear. And I still will think about it. I'm just delighted. It's so much fun. So My Neighbor Totoro at the Barbican Center, at the Barbican, which is one of my favorite places to enjoy art and culture. And in fact, I'm going there tonight to see a movie. But speaking of art and culture, exhibition on now at David Zwirner Gallery near Green Park Station, so in Mayfair. And that's a Gerhard Richter exhibition, very well-known German painter. Mm-hmm. If you don't know the name, you've probably seen some of his work. He's done like Sonic Youth album covers, lots of stuff, and really incredible artist. This is relatively new stuff by him. But just some big, really famous works by him that are just really amazing to see in person. I mean, you can see his stuff at Tate Modern, other huge important collections, but I might be wrong, but someone told me that this is his first actual show in London. So he's not a young man, and he's been quite well known for a while.
It's one of those names.
I couldn't
tell you anything like him, but I know. I think he posted some stuff on your social media. I knew the name, but without
a couple of famous things by him. I don't know if the names, but there's one. It's like a photorealistic painting of a candle. That's the Sonic Youth album cover I'm talking of. And then he's done a series of just really fine lines right next to each other, and the colors he chooses and everything. It's just, it dazzles you. It doesn't necessarily give you a headache, but you just kind of get lost in a way where you're just like, whoa. And this has some other things by him. So it's a really good, great show. I think it's on through March, maybe not till the very end, but maybe around the 28th or something of March it ends. And it's just great. Free to check out. Definitely worth checking out. And there's just, the day I saw that, I also just walked around. There were a few really good shows around Mayfair and like around New Bond Street and stuff. There's a huge Andy Warhol exhibition right now at Halcyon Galleries on New Bond Street. That was just great. I didn't know it was there. And I think it's on for a while. I mean, you're going to see his famous stuff. Things you would go, oh, that's Andy Warhol, and just a really good mix. So that was interesting.
That seems to have been under the radar.
Yeah. We were just, forgot what we were doing, but we were walking around there and it's like, hey, well, why don't we just poke our heads in here? And people would pay money for that, but it's totally free. I think the gallery actually manages his estate or the artwork in his estate, that sort of thing. And so they've got access to it, and it's on show, or at least it was last weekend. I think it's still on for some time.
Brilliant.
Yeah, really brilliant, actually. Yeah.
Nice. Well done, London.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah.
And, he can still do good things for free.
There you go. But that's kind of my stuff for this episode. You got anything else?
The other thing, just following on from the value thing, or free. I may have mentioned it before. There's a fantastic app called Too Good To Go.
I've used this before,
And it's one of those things, it's people either know it and use it or have never heard of it, it seems. So lots of places, if you walk past any number of food places, they get to a certain point of the day where there's just things they're not going to sell. And if they've signed up to Too Good To Go, they can bag them up and sell them to people as a kind of a job lot. you don't know what you're going to get necessarily, but for like a fiver or 7.50 or 10 quid or whatever it may be. We've got a very good vegetarian Indian restaurant just around the corner from us called the Rani on Long Lane in Finchley. And they tend to do, I think everything they do now is the buffet, kind of an all-you-can-eat buffet. So at the end of the day, there's an awful lot of things in tureens that haven't been finished. It's all, as I say, all vegetarian. And we've taken to every now and again stocking the freezer with some really interesting things. Got a fridge full of dal at the moment, which is never a bad state of play, quite frankly. But yeah, we've picked up all sorts of things, even like sushi from the counter to Waitrose on a regular basis. So not the greatest sushi in the world, but generally quite delicious. Or there's, yeah, you know, you get like packages of uncooked gyoza or whatever it may be. And it's always worth the gamble, I think. If you've got a spare fiver or something and want to do something moderately decent for the environment, it's quite a nice little app to stick on your phone. I think it only works on Android. I assume the iPhone version.
Yeah, I've used it on my iPhone before. Yeah, yeah. Just go to a bakery quite a lot, actually, and get stuff from them.
It's always worth a look. And there's places in the... I mean, we tend to stick to the local ones, but it's often, I think, Pret A Manger get rid of a lot of their breakfast items at about midday most days. So wherever you are, you can kind of pre-register. Really worth a look. So it feels like you're doing something good for society.
Oh, cool.
And saving yourself a bit of money, which I think...
Helping the establishments sort of roll over a little bit more and just make a little bit more money off stuff.
Exactly. I mean, food waste is something we were terrible at. Years and years ago, I don't know what your fridge is like, but so we'd often open ours and finally clear it out after 3 months and find something mysterious wrapped in foil somewhere in the back, or bags of salad that have gone liquidy.
It's about constantly moving things. Yeah. If I do that, I don't forget about it, but if everything just sort of stays where it is, I just cram in the new stuff, something's going to get lost.
Yeah, so we got a lot better at that, so it's quite nice to extend that out to... Well, yeah. Sometimes it's just useful to have some bits and pieces kicking around, or throw them in the freezer, or whatever.
Very cool.
Too good to go. We're big fans. Big fans. So I think that's like kind of...
One other thing we did touch on briefly
before we start recording.
What's that?
Before Jeffrey Bernard is unwell, turned up at the pub, and it was a little early to get in. So we had to go and find somewhere to kill for 20 minutes in Soho, which meant I could introduce my wife to the delights of Bar Termini.
Bar Termini,
couldn't. I don't know. Every time, I've never made a reservation. Mm. I've always managed to squeeze in. The guys behind the counter, it's like human Tetris. It's quite remarkable.
It's a tiny bar.
Really, really tiny. Brilliantly, kind of, properly. Like 1930s looking, very Italian waiters, virtually communicating in mime from afar. But the number of times I've been in there just for a quick drink, and they do pre-bottled Negronis is there.
And they're great,
phenomenal. Beautiful size. There's no room for ice, but it doesn't matter because the bottles are really chilled. Served like Duke's Bar, so that the tension of the liquid is kind of curved across the top of the glass. You can't first sip, you kind of have to lean in to take. You can loiter there for hours. There's little bits of food. I've sat at the bar before.
The menu is really good, actually. Yeah. Very limited in small bites, but good.
Good quality ingredients, lots of little bits of music bread and mortadella and nice bits of cheese and stuff. And I was there a couple of years ago with a friend, again, hadn't booked, just happened to be sitting at the bar. And we watched some food go past. Actually, that looks pretty good. And the next time they made a plate, they put a little bit of bread down in front of us and a little bit of mortadella. And then every time they were doing another plate, it was like, there's a little off-cut of cheese. There's a little... Sunday, we're just finishing our Negroni, settled up. The guy looked at the bottles he was walking past, just topped up both our glasses just to finish the bottle. Proper hospitality.
Yeah.
Really, really nice hospitality.
They're great for coffee too, man. If you're in Soho and need a coffee, it's
great in the afternoons.
Best service, probably.
Really good in the afternoons as well.
One of the best espressos in London.
Sorry, it's Bar Termini on Old Thompson Street. you blink and you miss it. Yeah. It's really, really tiny.
But wonderful.
Just, yeah, proper.
Yeah, it's a great place. I love it. Yeah. Oh, you're making me thirsty. All right. Anyway, so that's the show. Yeah, and that's The Year Was Strange by E. Nubb in the background there. I guess our theme song.
That's the one that's coming up in Bolivia. The one that consists of
I don't know what happened with the soundtrack here, but that's fine. Anyway, thank you, Neil.
Always a pleasure, Chris. Always a pleasure.
Wonderful. Thank you. All right.